Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 41. The Bible verse is from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it is verse 1 in chapter 3, and it reads, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." God is the God of everything. He's made everything in my life, and He's made every, He knows everything that's going on in my life. And I know that there have been times in my life where I have gone through hard seasons or different seasons, and it doesn't mean that God has gone away. He hasn't. Is that He sees it and He lets it be, and usually I grow in that time. And sometimes when I'm in a different season in my life, I'd rather be somewhere else. But I have to remember what Paul has written. It's in Philippians 4, 11. He says, "I have learned to be content in every circumstance." I have learned to be content. And what I am trying to learn myself is to maintain that peace. To maintain that peace that whatever is going on in my life, I want to be peaceful because I know that God knows. But one thing that I also want to remember is that God is my Heavenly Father. And I want to speak honestly to Him. And so if things are happening in my life that I really don't like, that they are rubbing me in the wrong way, I don't want to pretend that that I'm okay with it. I'm His child. And I can talk to Him about it. There's nothing wrong with talking to the Lord about the things that are challenging me. What is wrong is my attitude and how I do it. You know, if I have an attitude of entitlement, that God has to do it. You got to do this. That's a problem with that. Because, again, I have been called to have a deep respect for Him. A very deep respect for Him, not only in the way that I'm speaking, but in the way that I am thinking and interacting with Him and my expectation of Him. I expect, yes, He is my Father. He is going to take care of me. But I can come to Him for every need. But I have to remember that He's my sovereign. He's my sovereign Lord. And I am to have this reverential fear of Him. Not the type of fear where I am shaking, my knees are shaking and my voice is breaking and, kind of give you, not like the Wizard of Oz. I remember when I was a kid and I saw the Wizard of Oz for the first time and how, Dorothy and her little dog Toto, whatever heck, and all her friends had gotten finally to the Wizard, and they finally got to this scary, smoky place, And that was one time how I used to see God, that He was unapproachable. And probably at that time in my life, he should have been, for me. But the truth is that I know Jesus as Lord. I have accepted His payment for my sins. And so, yes, I can walk up to the Lord. I can go to the Lord. I don't have to have that knee-shaking type of experience. But at the same time, I must have a deep respect for Him, which I do. I do. The Bible actually has matured me in that way. Each time I'm in the Bible, it teaches me more and more about this God who loved me when I could not love myself. He still loved me, and He's still loving me. And so I hang on to his word and what I can learn from him. And so his word here tells me that there is a time for everything. And so I don't even have to get hyper that I'm going to run out of time or not have time for so-and-so or whatever. And he will show me what to do. So when I'm having a bad time, I want to be honest with the Lord. And I do want to ask him. I want to give him an idea of what I envision. I think, you know, God, this is how I see it. And I really would like it if blank, blank, and blank, you know. And then God has the, what he would do at that point is that he's going to either say, you know, yes, Pat, that is so true. And this is how it's going to come about, and this is what you're going to do. And sometimes he says, no, that is not how it is, and that is not what I have in mind for you. And no, this is not it. Or sometimes it's like, you know, you need to just wait, and I don't have any more information to give you, you know, regarding that. And so, but when he does not say yes, because, you know, I can be very worldly at times, or I can be in my flesh, then I want to stomp. I want to be like a 2-year-old. And I can see why people call it the terrible twos. It's something that happens at that 2-year-old age. And any of you who have been around young children, then you can see they have enough of understanding about life and people, and enough ego of themselves, that when they want something, they want it right away. And when they cannot get it, they are going to make life miserable for everybody. And God does not want me to interact with him in that way. He doesn't. He wants me to grow up and understand more and more about who he is. And so that is what I try to live my life. But so here the reading says that, you know, there is an evil one. It says, when my prayers are not answered yes, when God has told me no, or he has told me to wait, there is quickly a voice beside me that wants me to find find a new program, find something else, because life is not going the way you want it to go. I think one of the most important things that has happened to me as becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus, and what I have to remind myself of every day, is that Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can tell it. You know, sometimes I can want something so badly, that I get so anxious and so squirrely, you know, about it. And I can hear that voice inside of me go, Pat, wait a minute. This is not the way to go. Don't go that way. Where's your peace? You're just throwing that all around, all away. Just how about, you know, slowing it down and taking, you know, walking in peace, and stop listening to the voice that is telling you to not listen to the Lord. You know, the Lord is such an amazing God, so loving, so peaceful, and I want to listen to him. And so when things are not working out and it seems like God is not answering my prayers, I must remember there's an adversary who wants me to believe that God doesn't care about me. And that's why I can see where people have coined that, you know, that little saying, you know, all the time, God is good. He's good. He's good all the time. And whether it seems that way in my circumstance, it's still true. God is good. He cares about me. He cares deeply about me. He loves me. He loves me bigger and better than anyone can ever love me. I want to know that, and I want to remember that. And He's not deaf to my prayers. He hears my prayers. And I got to remember that I am just a little speck on this thing called eternity. And I might feel that the world revolves around me, but that's not true. Many, many, many people went before me. There will probably be many people who come behind me. There are many people who are here right at the same time that I am. And God made each one of them, and He loves them. The Bible says that. That God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. And so if I want to have the best life ever, I want to fall in line and, you know, after the Lord. After the Lord. I want to keep in step with Him. I want to walk in His truth. I want Him to unite. There's a psalm, I think it's 86:11. It says, "Unite my heart to fear Your name." And so I don't want to be obedient in one area and just crazily disobedient in another one. That's not who I am. It's not who I am anymore. So when God gives me no, He has given me an opportunity to practice patience and perseverance. I have to learn how to do the hard. You know, what is hard? And what is hard for me is keeping promises. Keeping promises, especially to myself. Keeping those promises to myself. You know, yesterday at the beginning of the day, I had some goals in mind of what I needed to do. And one of them, I had decided I needed to get this done before my lunch. I knew I needed to get that done. I mean, I knew it was something that it was mine to do. And I had made that commitment that this was going to happen. Well, I got busy doing stuff. I was talking. I had a good talk with one of my children, and that went well. I had a good talk with one of my shepherdees, and we just talked and talked and talked. And I had another shepherdee, and we prayed. And I mean, it was a lot of things that went between that time that I had made that commitment and my lunchtime. And then it was lunchtime. And I looked and it was like, oh, my goodness. I went, oh, no, I don't want to have to do that now, because I also needed to finish the PowerPoint for the 3 p.m. meeting. And I knew that if my lunch got too late, that meeting was there, and I had to do those PowerPoints and whatever. And there was a part of me that was going, no, I don't want to do that. I know what I promised, but I don't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. And I had to get on my knees, and I had to really go back in my mind. Because one of the things that God is really showing me as I grow up is to let my yes be yes and my no be no. And to do that, to walk through that in a peaceful way. And so the other thing is to not make those commitments if I am not going to keep them. The Bible even tells me I don't have to vow. I do not have to make a vow. But if I make a vow, I need to keep it. And so I need to be very, very clear about the vows that I'm making. What kind of vows that I make? So I don't want to just randomly make a vow or a promise of something that I'm going to do, because God will hold me to what I have said I was going to do. I don't have to do it, but if I do it, then I do need to follow it. I need to let my yes be yes and my no be no. And that first came from me. I learned that ability with the abstinence. I mean, I would in the morning, I would used to be, ooh, I'm going to be abstinent. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do that. And I would even tell my sponsor, I would give her my food and stuff like that. And then in the middle of the day, I'd be going, oh, wait a minute, I forgot all about that party that happened, you know. And there was a time in my life that I used to lie. I would tell her the next day what I ate. I mean, that I ate my food, and I did eat my when I had planned, because I was that type of eater. I could eat my abstinent food, and I could eat other stuff too, and I could lie about it, but I wouldn't tell her the other stuff that I would do, and that was wrong. But it's equally wrong, you know what I mean, to do it wrong and then justify it. What I'm finding, you know, is that when I have not kept my promise, the first person I need to go to is the Lord, that this is not right. And then I need to ask for the willingness and strength to repent of that type of behavior. When I make these types of vows, like, you know, I'm going to do this with my food, and then I don't do it, I kind of want the best of two worlds. I had to learn that. No, I can't have the best of two worlds. I can't act like, oh yeah, this is a very important thing to do and I'm going to do it. And then, but in the meantime, I'm still wanting to live in the world. I don't want to have any inconvenience. I want to be able to do what everybody else does. And that's not being mature. When I was, you know, we were in Hebrews today, and it talks about that maturity level of my life. Do I want to be a soldier, a strong soldier in the army of God? Well, personally, if I want to be a strong soldier in the army of God, I got to take care of this besetting sin. And God has shown me about this particular sin in my life and what I need to do about it. And so when it comes to that type of promise, I make that vow daily. I do. I write my food down. I call it into my sponsor. If it's some type of change that needs to happen, I certainly let her know. I let her know before I do it, not after. I do it. Let her know before it's happening. And if I make a mistake, I let her know about that. But I would say, you know, again, if you are trying to get abstinent, think of it as a vow. It's a vow that you're going to make. You know, is it going to be, yes, I will do this, or maybe I would do it. If it's maybe, then that's not a strong enough a commitment that I have found to do this. But nobody's going to make you make that type of vow. Nobody has to. The Bible is the first to tell you. But the Bible also shows you that those who are walking strongly with the Lord, they are willing at times to take vows. I mean, look at people who marry, and marry with the intention that it's not just for a season, that is for a lifetime. I have said that to all my children, you know, that when they, every one of them that has come to me, you know, for a life, for a marriage, as I can remember, I have definitely told them the importance of making that commitment for life. This is for life. You know, that better, worse, richer, poor is true. It's for life. And not only because of man saying that, but God saying that. But the same thing that I do with my abstinence. My abstinence is for life. It's that type of a vow that I make. And yeah, when I write that down of what I'm going to do for that day, I keep that vow. And that means that if something comes up, then I need to talk to the person that I made that vow with before I change it. But let me pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just thank you for the things that you teach me in your word, how to be upright and godly, how to have upright and godly living. I do not want to be caught in this besetting sin ever again. I don't. And I pray to be able to teach other people how to break free by letting their yes be yes and their no be no, by walking strongly with the Lord, and to be very careful about the vows that they make. You know, think about it. You know, if you make too many vows, it's going to be true. You will be all over the map. But again, there are some things that we want to be very clear in doing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen.